Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Jay Cutler. We covered his divorce right here on Sports Radio 610. Actually, I didn't just cover his divorce. I defended Jay Cutler. One thing I thought I would never do. I defended Jay Cutler and felt like his old lady leaving him and citing laziness as the reason. I thought that was a little fishy show. I just looked at it and I said, well, damn, man, Jay Cutler's been lazy as long as we've all known him. He was lazy at Vanderbilt. He was lazy in the league. He was lazy when you married him, Kristen Cavallari.
So just be lazy.
So just let him be lazy, damn it. Let him be lazy. He's got the ability to do this. Some of us don't have that opportunity. He's got the opportunity. Well, I tell you what, the divorce, the fight for custody, over with his wife, over the kids, and then you sprinkle in this COVID-19 things, Joe, and Jay Cutler, you'd never guess what he's up to, but it sounds like he's a little bit out of his gourd. This is how Jay Cutler is dealing with, or what he's dealing with, how he's passing time during this COVID-19 pandemic.
We've got a chicken serial killer on the loose. We've lost quite a few. Tonight we're going to set up a trail camera, see if it's a coyote, bobcat, I don't know, raccoon. Could be anything. Not sure.
Show. My man Jay Cutler has got chickens in his backyard, first of all. He's got chickens in his backyard, and there's some kind of animal that is, or well, I guess he don't know what it is, so I guess he thinks it's an animal that is stealing his chickens. To the point where he took to his Instagram account and he's putting out all these different videos of what's going on. Well, of course it's gone viral, and there's several different storylines behind this chicken murderer. But they've come out with a chicken murderer prime suspects list. And they've got a little competition going.
What in the world?
Do you know, are you familiar with what steals chickens? Like what types of animals typically are guilty of stealing chickens?
No, I am not.
Fox?
Okay.
A coyote?
That makes sense.
A raccoon? A weasel?
A raccoon steals chickens?
I think a raccoon will eat damn near anything and steal damn near anything, won't they? Weasel? An owl or other, which the other would be a cheetah? A chupacabra? A Bigfoot or Carol Baskin? That's where we're at.
Damn, Carol.
I mean, so Jay Cutler is...
And you just want the beautiful Kristen Cavallari to stay with that.
Just stay with him. See, he's clearly got a habit. He's clearly got a habit now. He's raising chickens. He's farming. Looks like he's farming out of about a $10 million home, but at least he's farming. He's up to something.
He sounds badass crazy.
We ain't to the end yet. Now, see that I can understand where a guy that maybe was grown, he was raised on a farm, and you know he's got a lot going on. He's got a little love for animals and wants to help raise and feed and grow something. Understand that. I can get down to it. I can get down with that. And he's curious because somebody's stealing his chickens. Well, he went a little far in a couple of different Instagram posts. Here's Jay Cutler talking specifically about his chickens.
But enough's enough. These ladies are a little edgy right now, so we've got to figure this out. There is one other possibility. Could be an inside job. Thelma over there, while she looks nice and sweet, is a savage with loose morals. Thelma, hey cat.
He's got a cat named Thelma that's a savage with loose morals. I don't know what to make of that other than Jay Cutler. He's not only depressed, but it appears that he's crazy as hell as well.
Yeah, I think he misses her.
apparent to me. He misses her. He knows he's messed up. He knew he should have stopped being so lazy, and he misses her. He thought he had a Kim Kardashian who will just stay with him no matter how crazy you get, Kanye. She'll just stay with him.
Now, you can't compare Jay Cutler to Kanye. He ain't that damn crazy.
This is pretty damn crazy. Like, he's just out there. He's just out there right now. Yes, he is. And you just want Kristen, who I remember from Laguna Beach, who I grew up at. You just want her to stay with him.
No, man. You watched Laguna Beach?
Hell yeah. I thought her and Steven were going to get married forever.
Laguna Beach.
I loved it.
I proudly say I've never watched Laguna Beach. Show, what in the hell are you doing? Courtney make you watch that?
Hell, I didn't even know her yet. I was an MTV watcher.
Oh, you were doing this as a bachelor?
Oh, I was an MTV watcher.
Oh,
yeah, man.
Boy, that Texas line's going to have fun with your ass.
Have fun with me. You act like I'm the only one who watched Real World, Road Rules, all them shows.
You said Laguna Beach, Chief.
And I said Laguna damn Beach. Yep. I keep season one of the OC in my backpack at all times. I do. You're damn right. I'm not ashamed of it.
You should be.
I'm not.
White 80.
Show, we've talked a lot about Cam Newton. I mean, we're obviously on opposite sides in terms of what his future holds in this league. And I'm gonna be honest with you, hell, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But it looks like, sounds like, our guy Bill Belichick, well, you know, his weird ways of not wanting guys to talk to the media, not wanting his players to talk to the media, leaving phones in the car, not bringing them to the locker room. It sounds to me like that Bill Belichick has gotten to Cam Newton. This is Cam Newton when he landed, I'm assuming, in New England and was asked a few questions.
How's it feel to be part of Patriot Nation? Excited?
Y'all called y'all man.
How excited are you to play for Bill Belichick? Best in the business. Excited? Look, if you had one message for Patriot Nation, right? They lost Tom Brady, the greatest of all time. Do you have any messages for Patriot Nation? Any comments at all?
There you have it.
He's playing around, dog. He's ready. See? He is already there. That didn't really hurt my feelings, though.
Bill Belichick has got to his ass, boy.
Oh, easy. Can't wait. Boy, I cannot wait to see these outfits at the press conference. I told you that had to be the last conversation. Hey, man, you're going to have to stop looking like an East German woman. You're going to have to stop coming up here looking like a park ranger.
East German?
Yeah, when he wears some scarves over the top of his head.
Do they wear that stuff in East Germany?
Yeah, I just assume.
Well, I think it's safe to say that it was an East Afro-German woman.
Yes,
I think that would be
East
safe.
Afro-German. He came in there looking like a park ranger one time with all that with that damn hat. Is that
crazy, though, man? Bill Belichick, do you really think Bill Belichick has anything to do with that, or do you think that he just, you know, Bill's reputation, and he's just not going to push the envelope?
Of course. You saw how long and how much he stifled Rob Gronkowski. Rob just quit. He just quit playing football because he couldn't be himself. I'll never forget that time he went up there and he said, I want to say something more, but Bill said, I can't. When he caught his 69th touchdown pass. That's right. He wanted to really have Rob Gronkowski type of fun, but he said Bill won't let me really speak, so I'm not going to talk about it.
We'll see. Yes. We'll see how Cam deals with Bill Belichick or vice versa. That's one part of that soap opera that's going to be a whole lot of fun
Bill
to watch.
Bill won where I won.
Red 22.
Zeke Elliott show. Dallas Cowboys running back. Highest paid. I believe he's the highest paid running back in the league. Still held. The way they're handing out money, I don't know exactly who's been paid and who hadn't. I'm concerned, man. I'm big concerned, show. I love some Zeke now. When he went for 200, three straight games, I believe, to end his college season. I believe he went Big Ten championship and back-to-back college football playoff games with 200-plus yards rushing in each one of them. I'd quit right there. I'm not an Ohio State fan. Don't like Ohio State. Never have liked Ohio State. But I gave it up for Zeke Elliott right then. I said, that's the best running back in the game. That's one of them that needs to go top 10. That's one of them that needs to be the highest paid running back in the game. I'm a Zeke Elliott fan. But, man, I'm worried about Zeke Elliott. And I'm going to tell you why. But this is the most recent Zeke Elliott that's out there. And I don't want to make too much of it, but when you couple it with the looks I see in the media, man, I'm worried about Zeke. This is Zeke Elliott after he was on apparently a Zoom call or some kind of conference call and didn't turn his mic off.
Oh, bro, I'm low-key faded, bro.
Are you?
Oh, no, I didn't even end my stream yet.
Oh, no, I didn't even end my stream yet. I'm not real sure exactly what he was streaming to, but that was caught and made public. And if it were, you know, if it were just an isolated incident, I wouldn't be real worried about it. But, Show, let's be honest, man. His track record in the streets is a problem. And I'm not talking about a legal problem. I'm not even caught up on the legal issues that have stemmed from, you know, the grabbing, pulling the girl's shirt down St. Patty's Day parade.
Yeah.
You know, the deal in the club where I guess one of his guys, one of his bodyguards, knocked somebody out. I think it was a DJ, actually. Knocked him out, and I think he got in some legal trouble there. I'm not even worried about the legal aspect of this thing, Show. When I look at him, I look at his build, and he's already carrying some weight now. He'll come in without a six-pack, and then all of a sudden he'll have that six-pack midway, you know, 4 weeks into the season or something. He's already got shown a propensity to bounce around with his weight, and as much as the Cowboys are dependent on him, they can't afford that, man. And when he's on TV with three nose rings and a lip ring and bloodshot eyes and he forgets to turn his damn streaming device off and he's talking about being faded, I'm worried about him taking years off of his NFL career because he's staying in them streets of Dallas, man.
We know he's in the streets. We know he's in the streets.
No,
we know he doesn't
that.
Give a damn about Corona. He's in the streets and never has. All right, and I'm going to tell you this right now. If I'm Jerry Jones, if I'm the Cowboys brass, my worries about him are minimal. He's not my quarterback. He's not a leader at all on the team. He is a guy that I know bloodshot eyes, eats a couple of meals a little bit, you know, has some crazy piercings. I know that son of a gun is going to be ready on Sunday and ready to play and be dominant on Sundays. As much as everything he does off the field on Sundays, he's always there, and he's always one of the best backs in football. I don't need him to be a leader.
Show,
I don't give a damn if he's a leader. I'm good.
I don't disagree with the leader aspect of it, but a guy that's a superstar, that's one of the highest paid, he's going to put coaches in a situation where they've got to make decisions, and those decisions are more than likely going to be made. Like, hell, let him play. Hell, he's fine. Hell, he came in overweight.
Dallas ain't been here before. Dallas has been here before Clint.
I'm with you, bro. I'm with you. But that's a tough spot for a coach to be in, man. That's a tough example to be setting for your young players, because a coach can't not hold you accountable and then all of a sudden decide to hold the backup running back accountable if he comes in overweight, or the right guard accountable if he comes in. It's just a bad look, and I'm concerned that, which ultimately is what matters and what you're saying. I think he's going to ball, but I'm concerned that balling is going to come to an end sooner rather than later simply because he's not taking care of his body, man.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, it's not just not taking care of his body. Good gosh, you can see it every time the damn camera gets in his face.
We'll see. I'm just telling you, don't be delusional if you're a young player like Jimmy Johnson said. You ain't Troy Aikman and you ain't Michael Irvin. Michael Irvin, it didn't matter how much snow he did. He was there Sunday and dominant and ready to go no matter what he did off the field, no matter what. He was there ready to go, and that is Zeke. I don't need you to be no leader. I got you. I got you, Dak. You're my leader. I don't need it. I don't need it. You just perform and get out there on Sunday, and that's what Zeke gonna do.
Blue 80, easy white 90.
Show, Toro, the Texans mascot. You a mascot guy? Do you care? Does Lil Show care?
Lil Show is definitely afraid of mascots.
Hey, Toro, keep Lil Show away from Toro. Toro got rated. He got ranked by The Athletic the number three mascot in all of the NFL, behind two birds, right? The Seahawks and the Eagles. Toro was three. The Texans getting love. I'm a big mascot guy, and for the most part, it's because the one thing my Razorbacks have gotten right, my Arkansas Razorbacks have gotten right, is the mascot game, man. The Razorbacks crush it in the mascot competitions. Big Red, the little costumes, the fitted costume. The big one's Big Red. They got a little one that's Pork Chop. I'm telling you, man, they do it big. They got a live mascot named Tusk, and it's a big, nasty Razorback. I'm a mascot guy simply because my university, my alma mater, is absolutely dominating in that game. But I thought I'd let Houston know that Toro is getting a lot of respect, getting a lot of love in the mascot world. Toro, yeah. I know you're out there. I know you're listening. I know you're out there listening. Well done.
We got to get better at that. Man, Clint, my son, Little Show is so afraid of it. So afraid.
We'll break him to that.
He refused to run the bases for a Royals game. After the game on Sunday, the kids could run the bases. He refused to go down and run the bases because the mascot was there greeting the kids. He would not walk down the steps to go see them. You know how kids drag? He's dragging to the steps. I'm trying to get him. No! I said, okay. So, Toro, avoid my kid. Because he will lose. All right, Clint, man. We are. Deshaun Watson better not be in the wrong place on this list. Deshaun Watson better not be in the wrong place on this list. We'll get into this. All right, let's jump into this, Clint, because I'm juiced about this. All right, man. We have talked about our feelings on Mr. Cam Newton, but I want to see where you have him in terms of the AFC quarterbacks, right? The AFC quarterbacks in the league, I want to know how many of them you have in front of Cam Newton, because I think we both agree on this part. New England now jumping to having the third best odds, which is by Fox Bet and by ESPN, the third biggest odds to now winning the AFC feels a little strong. That feels out of hand. But I think quarterback play is obviously the biggest thing in football. So, Clint, I want to run through the AFC quarterback situations, and I want to see how many of them with the starter you think Cam situation is better than. And we got to do it in the Clint Sterner way. The Clint Sterner way would be we got to talk about the situation. We got to talk about the scheme, not just the quarterback player for player, but everything, their entire situation, coaches, whatever, their entire situation. How many situations do you think Cam Newton is better in? All right, you good on that?
I'm good on that. Yes, absolutely.
Let's knock this out. All right, let's go in his division first. Buffalo. Buffalo with Josh Allen. Whose situation would you like better?
I would take Cam in that situation.
Yeah, I would take Cam as well.
I'll take Cam, and I would risk the injury. I'm strong on Cam. Get it very clear. I like Cam. I think Cam's very talented. I'm strong on the fact that he's coming off of two injuries, and I don't know what you're going to get on the back end of this thing, and I would still take him before Josh.
And I'll keep you can keep the injury thing, all right? Yeah, okay. All right, I will too. I'll take Cam. How about the Dolphins, Ryan Fitzpatrick? I think he'll start him or Tua, but I think Ryan Fitzpatrick, you taking Cam or Ryan?
I'm taking Cam.
All right, and the Jets, Sam Darnold. This is an interesting one. Think about their whole situation.
Their whole situation?
Yeah, I think you take the coach, I think you take the weapons, you take the scheme, everything into account.
I would take Sam Darnold in that situation.
You would take Darnold. Okay, yes. I'd take Cam.
I'm high on Sam Darnold in terms of the young quarterbacks. I'm high on him. Yes, I'd take him.
And Cam, Sam and Adam Gase. Gotcha. All right, Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson.
Oh no, Lamar. Yeah, I take Lamar.
Yeah, that's easy. Lamar. All right, Bengals with Joe.
I'd take Cam right now.
Yeah, okay. Cam right. Joe Burrow, whose name I just forgot. All right, Cleveland with Baker Mayfield. Who you going with?
Ooh, I'm a Baker fan, but he's made it hard, Joe. He's made it real hard, brother. Oh, man, I would go Cam there as well.
Yeah, see, this is the one I would go Baker because of the situation. The weapons that Baker has, and I think Kevin Stefanski is an upgrade over the fan they had coaching last year. So I would go with Baker.
Well, but you're not like we're having this conversation as if you plugged Cam into that scenario.
Just in terms of what everyone has around them, their system, the players they have around
them. Are you going to put Cam in that particular situation? Yeah, you put Cam in Cleveland with those weapons.
He could do work. Yeah, and that's a big one. His weapons are just so much better that I think it outweighs the coaching that I think Cam, which is better. I think his weapons are so good, Odell and Landry and the rest of that crew.
Hard not to want to see a run with Cam with that group.
Yeah, so you said you still go with Cam on that.
Yeah,
right?
I'd go with Cam on that. Baker's made it really difficult for me to believe in what the hell he's capable of doing. I was high on him at one time, but go ahead.
This is a tough one. Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, Ben all day. It ain't even close.
It's not close. All right. No. To me, it's tough, but I think I lean Ben too. All right. Texans.
Deshaun. It ain't a conversation.
Phillip Rivers with the Colts.
This is a tough one for me because I think Phillip Rivers is an absolute perfect fit. And this is why this was tough for me because I think Phillip is a perfect fit for what they do. I think his skill set's going to make everybody around them better. But I look at it with Cam and I go, could you imagine Cam with that offensive line and what they could do in a run game? And then they have the weapons outside. This one's tough for me, man.
But Cam don't have that in New England.
Well, no, I would right plug, I'm talking. I'm having the conversation if I'd plug Cam into the Colts situation. I would probably still go with Phillip Rivers in this situation. And the deciding factor there is that the injury aspect of it. I think they both struggle throwing the ball in terms of driving it down the field and in terms of having just a big arm that can make the special throws. But Phillip Rivers' understanding of the game with that supporting cast. In that run game, I would take Phillip.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Cam. You know how I feel about Phil. Their biggest elite player on that offensive side of the ball right now is their guard, Quentin Nelson. So I don't love the weapons. Don't love them yet. Pittman could be better, but I'd go Cam on this one. Gardner Minshew, that's quick work, right? That's Cam over Gardner.
Yeah. Agreed.
And then Ryan Tannehill.
Ooh, that's a tough one because for that system, for what they do, he's really, really good. That's tough for me, man.
See, I still go with Cam over Tannehill.
That's tough for me, Shell. I mean, it's a tough decision, but the injury, him coming off of injuries and the unknowns, I would still take Tannehill right there.
Okay. Denver with Drew Locke.
Ooh.
And his situation. Cool. Remember the receivers he has around him?
Yes. Yes, they got a couple of good running backs out there. Melvin mm-hmm. Gordon, too. I'd love to see Cam Newton with that. Good gosh. Oh, that's tough.
See, I would go with Drew Locke here. And I don't think Drew – I don't necessarily
and
think
– you're not
Drew
a Drew Locke guy.
No, I don't necessarily think Drew is better than Cam. I just think Drew's situation is his situation and skilled people around him outweighs the coaching advantage that Cam has.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, he's a gunslinger. I mean, in the SEC, when he had the right receivers and the right offense, I mean, he threw for record-setting numbers. He was nasty. I would imagine he's going to light the NFL up with these guys he has. Maybe not this year, but eventually. Yeah, dang, it's hard. I'm not a Drew Locke guy. It's hard for me to like. Yeah, I'll go with Drew Locke.
All right, Drew Locke, and then the Chiefs, that's obvious.
Yep.
And then the Raiders. This one is tough for me with Derek Carr because I think right now today they're closer than many people think.
I agree.
But I don't.
I would go Derek Carr there. I like Derek Carr. I think Derek Carr's. I loved him coming out of Fresno State. I agree with you. I think they're close. I think they're really close to being a damn good football team. And Derek Carr, for whatever reasons, he's like a Kirk Cousins. You know what I mean? Like they can make all the throws. And for whatever reason, just. Hadn't won the big one, obviously. I know that's the reason. Hadn't made some significant runs consistently throughout their careers into the playoffs, but just doesn't get the love that he deserves in terms of his ability to throw the football. I would go with Derek Carr there.
We'll see how Henry Ruggs is. I'll lean Cam here because Gruden and Belichick. I'll just lean towards the coaching with that because I like the Raiders what they have in the backfield. But I don't know their receiving core. We'll see what Henry Ruggs is, and then the Chargers, Tyrod Taylor.
That's Cam. Easy. That's Cam. Yeah. I'd take Cam. The upside there. I mean, Tyrod's ceiling's low. I love him to death. You talk about a guy that's made a bunch of money in the league when nobody thought he would. Whew. And my man Tyrod Taylor's made some cash now. Yeah, you know what else, Joe? I would love to see Cam in that Oakland uniform, or well, I guess the Las Vegas uniform, that silver and black.
Chief. Oh, yeah, he does.
Ooh, come on.
You got, so you have 9 quarterback situations that you would take over Cam.
Yeah, and there, yeah, and there's 2 or 3 that I would really like, the Drew Lock one. I can't remember if I said yes or no on Drew Lock, but Drew would be one that I'd have to really consider. That's a tight race for me. Obviously, the Carr is a tight race for me, and the Sam Darnold is a tight race for me. I believe I went opposite Cam on all of those young guys up and coming that I think highly of.
I only got
now
5.
If we crank that thing back up and say, hey, we're Cam's healthy, I mean, there ain't gonna be many that I would take. You know, I mean, like I would take Cam, a healthy Cam. I would take a healthy Cam over Phillip Rivers all day. But yeah. Is he, especially in that system, is he gonna be healthy? I'd take a 31-year-old healthy Cam over a bunch of them cats. But is he gonna be healthy? Again, it's not just injury. It's not just knee or left shoulder or back or hand. I mean, this is right shoulder and a foot. You know, I mean, those are tough injuries to overcome for an athletic quarterback that size.
Yeah, I got 5. It's hard for me to think about 9. Of course, there's a couple in there, like I said, I don't think are actually better players than him, but I just think their situation will be better.
Well,
for
fit,
them, but
show
yeah.
Fit is so important. You know, I mean, look, nobody in their right mind thinks that Tannehill is that good, that talented of a quarterback in terms of if you just lined them all up and you had a competition. But he fits perfectly with what they want to do. The little bit of an ability to escape. I mean, when he's not the focal point of the offense, he has. Let's put it this way: he has above average athletic ability for quarterbacks that aren't the focal point of the offense, right? I mean, so he's always a one-off, so the bootlegs, he's going to have extra room. Any kind of zone read that they want to do, he's going to be the second best option, so he's going to get a keep and get some yards. He throws the ball deep really, really well. He's got enough arm talent to pop the screen game out there, and that complements the run game so well. Like, you think about it. Tannehill throws the quick game and the screen game a lot better than Cam does. Like, his arm talent allows him to do different things than Cam could do. So Cam would struggle with some of the simple things in that Titans offense. So those are things that I take into consideration when I would say in that offense, Tannehill is a really, really good fit. I'm not a huge Tannehill guy, but in that offense, damn, he's a good fit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting thing when you really break it down and look at like which situations are better. Like I said, I think 3, third best team in the AFC is a little strong, a lot of strong, yeah. Actually.
With no weapons around him other than Edelman, yeah. It's
right
strong.
Now, unless they know something else that we don't know. That's a little strong. I'm about to have had it with the text line. Don't you stop calling me soft, damn it.
I didn't call you soft.
No, I'm not talking about these folks. You know it. Yes, there is nothing wrong with watching the OC.
Laguna now, Beach.
There's nothing wrong with it.
You know what? I got to admit, I did watch the OC.
You're damn right you did.
I got hooked on that.
Shoot, that's a hell of a show. That was racing.
I'm not going to lie. I avoid those shows most of the time. I avoid watching TV with my lady because I embarrassingly get interested.
Yeah, you get hooked, and there's nothing wrong with it. You probably watch The Bachelor every week.
No, I did not. Now, that one's a different deal. Like, I just can't get down with that.
All right, coming up. The darlings of the NBA season, when the season starts back up, the darlings are your Houston Rockets. All right, we're going to have to dive in, though, what the real, real struggle mission can be with this team. We'll get into that coming up next. If Lil Show's scared of mascots now, next thing you know, he'll be holed up in his room watching Laguna Beach and the OC reruns. It's cheap, folks. It's cheap. There's no reason. No reason to take those shots. And you're damn right. I was posted up watching them. You're damn right. And that's okay. I see some people coming in, show I got you, Laguna, was all good. And the women were fine. They were. It was a terrific show.
Well, I mean, if the women being fine is that your go-to, I mean, you're right. Real World, MTV, all those Bachelor, Bachelorette type of shows, that's right up your alley, bub.
It's just because you're so soft, show.
Hot butter, soft. Hot
whatever,
butter.
Man. No, man, man, I know you watch the OC. Julie Cooper was one of the worst people in the history of television. Oh, my God.
Man, you watched it and took notes or something.
Oh, man, took notes. I was into it. Shoot, watched every week. Laughed, cried with them. God, man, when Summer and Seth finally got together.
Yeah, I got hooked.
Come on, man, that touched me, man, with something. Oh, that was beautiful. That was beautiful. Yeah, and I ain't soft, man. Get out of here with that. It's good television. Some good television. I know my sensitive side. Y'all can act like I'm the only one who didn't.
You're fully in touch with that sensitive side. There ain't no doubt about it.
Like I'm the only one who watched all those damn MTV shows. I'm not. I know you. I know you're a little older, so I know yours. You're more in the singled out range.
Singled out. I remember that name for some reason.
Yeah, Carmen Electra was on it.
Now you're talking.
Bridget, have you heard of any of these shows we've said?
Yeah, I watched them all.
Okay. There's just no way possible.
You were watching Singled Out?
You were watching MTV fan just like you. So.
If you were watching Singled Out, you were doing it when you were like -3.
Yeah, no. I was about to say you weren't even
on reruns. Oh, so I have to watch it live? I can't watch reruns?
Oh, you damn sure can in COVID-19. You've had 4 months to watch reruns, so you caught up on all my kiddie shows.
Oh,
well,
man,
it works the whole time, but no.
Man.
I've rewatched them. Carmen Electra is one of the most beautiful women in all of the world. So, yeah, I've seen
taste.
It all.
You got great taste.
Clint, I tried out for the Real World.
Did you really?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get very far, but I tried out.
How did that make you feel?
They came to like a bar in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, where I went to school, and they were like, "Hey, we're trying." So we went in there, man. You know, Clint, you know this. I had my number one outfit, my best one that I could put together. My number one outfit
had that old aqua polo buttoned up.
Nah, back then it was Vocal. I was really into that Nelly brand. Nelly brand, maybe some jeans. I really brought it. Had my best hat, you know. Had my chin strap beard wrapped around all the way. I was on it.
Okay, and it didn't work out for you. Huh?
Well, I made it through the first interview, and you know I could talk, so I had the lady laughing. I just don't think I was attractive enough. If I'm just going to be honest, I'm not a train wreck.
Bruh. All right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not Popeye Jones. I'm not that ugly, but I do think they were like, God, man, we love your personality, man, but man, we just can't let Sevens. We can't let Sevens in here.
It's like no one here has worked on TV before.
That's good.
The way they looked at me, man, you're really funny. If you just, you know, lost, 13 pounds, man, we could really do something.
I'm glad they passed on you. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm glad they passed on you. No doubt. I was going more along the lines of I never would have got to do radio with you, which I'm very fortunate to do. I was going more along that line instead of I would still do radio with you, and you'd be more obnoxious than you
are. Oh, no, yeah, you do radio with me. You just never hear the end of it. The opening, the voice guy would say, you're listening to former quarterback Clint Sterner and former contestant on Real World Austin, Ron the Show Euclid.
Boy, Austin was a mess show, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, that was. They had a run there. That Hawaii, that was like one of my favorite seasons. Tech and Ruthie, oh, boy. I'm telling you.
I don't know those people.
You don't know Tech and Ruthie?
No.
Oh, man.
Tech, I think I've seen him in some of the like the rerun, like not the reruns, but when they bring him back, what's that called?
Oh,
the reunions.
Like reunions. Yeah, yeah. Tech.
He's crazier than hell, wasn't he?
Yeah.
In fact, I think did he die?
I don't think Tech died. Ruthie was the hardcore drinker. She would just drink. Like, I mean, I know that's not crazy. That's it happens, but she was hardcore, man. Like, they just find her passed out on several occasions.
Dang, that sounds like my buddy in college. What in the hell is that in the background, B?
That's Laguna Beach's opening song.
Oh, yeah. You didn't know that?
I can't believe it. Here y'all go again, ganging up on me on this.
I picked that up, yeah.
Me and Jay Cutler wouldn't appreciate that.
There we go. Show, I'm with you, buddy. MTV jammed back in the day. You're damn right it did, man. You know, they went to that stretch. They just stopped playing music and just,
this was playing shows. I think they're still doing it right now. All right, someone else on the text line took a shot, too, at us, Clint.
Okay, what is it?
And said, I love you guys, but the spin is getting way ridiculous. So you mean to tell me with no bench and no big man and no ball-dominant stars, no ball-dominant stars.
No bench, no big man.
Oh,
no
I'm sorry, and ball. No, I didn't want to say and ball-dominant stars that the Rockets are the darlings of the NBA. Yes, there have been a lot of experts who are now champion and saying, man, the team to look out for are the Rockets. The team that you want to that could jump up and be up there with the Lakers and the Clippers and the Bucks are the Rockets. That's
what the hell? What kind of spin? Like, what do you want? It's an 8-game regular season. Means absolutely nothing to the top 2 or 3 teams in the league. Nothing. Absolutely zilch. Nothing. And you've got the rest of the pool to pick from, and the Rockets are the – whether you're in Houston or not, the Rockets are the sexy pick and the sexy conversation.
They have been.
It's not even – I mean, now it's even more so now, Show, because you can't – the Lakers aren't – the 8-game regular season is a non-factor. In fact, I bet you LeBron don't even play all of them. I mean, if they're smart – they'll play him 4 games, and the other 4 games he'll run sprints in the practice gym for an hour and make sure he's in shape and not risk injuring him, because the games don't mean nothing. So when you take Milwaukee, the Clippers, and the Lakers out of the mix, the damn sure, for sure, 100%, the next sexiest story out there, besides players not playing because of COVID-19 and the bubble conversation, is damn sure the Rockets. That's not spin. That's the case all over the place.
It's not. I mean, you could say we're spinning it, but it's not. Here, Kendrick Perkins, a guy who's covering the league, and I know he's been someone who's been on the Rockets and he's in the area, but he's one of many here recently since we started to understand that the NBA was going to open up that's really talked up the Rockets and said, watch out for the Rockets. This is Kendrick Perkins and how he believes the Rockets will be able to have advantages coming up in this new start to the season.
Well, you know, I was watching a team that everyone is overlooking, and that's the Houston Rockets. They're currently sitting at the number 6 seed in the Western Conference, and they could possibly fall to the 7th, or they could move as high as to the 3rd spot. And I think they're going to get that 3rd spot. When you look at James Harden, who we used to looking at during the offseason, he usually be kicking it with Lil Baby and Lil Wayne. No, James Harden was working out. He dropped 20 pounds, so he sent a message. I'm looking at Russell Westbrook. He's doing sand workouts and working out on the beach, and a guy who gets out to the bed and has an engine. And they're number 1 in pace. So what that tells me is that they have it on their mind and that they're going to hit the ground running. And I'm listening to Daryl Morey talk, and he's making statements saying, hey, with Russell Westbrook and James Harden, I feel like we could win the championship. And guess what? I believe him.
It's Clint. Jay Williams went on, and they had a conversation. Jay Williams saying that's his team. That could watch. That's his team out of the top 3 that he would put money on to win the championship outside of the Bucks, the Lakers, and the Clippers. There's no spin. There are actually people who former players in the league who look at this group and think there is no team that has been helped more, and no team that could actually see their play improved due to this virus and due to playing in Orlando.
Yeah, look, so if you're a Rockets fan, you ass better get on board, because this might be your best chance of winning a title in the next few years. I mean, there's a lot of adjustments have to be made to get through an entire regular season, which, by the way, they're on their way of trying to start that thing in December, I think, if I heard that correctly. The Rockets and what they were able to do was switching to small ball and then catching the break of COVID-19 with 4 months to self-evaluate, get in shape, further coach their guys up in what they expect, they being Mike D'Antoni, expects from this team, and do all of that, not in real season, not in the games, not when everybody else can take advantage of your growing pains, but do it in a time when everybody else is sitting at home with their toes up, spending time with their family. The Rockets had motivation to do work, and now that you would expect to see a better version of the small ball. And by the way, if you look at some of the numbers, especially if you look at the numbers that they were giving up with Capella when he was on the floor and the numbers they were scoring with Capella when he was on the floor, they're actually better. The Rockets are actually better in terms of points and points given up than they were with Capella when he was on the floor and when he was off the floor. So there's this is the best version of the Rockets this season, and they've got an advantage in the shortened season. They've got motivation. They've got every reason under the sun to be ready and be more motivated than the other teams involved to make a run in this thing. I'm not going to say they're going to win a championship, but they got a much better chance based off of what they've done over 4 months than what everybody else has done over the last 4 months.
Clint Sterner and the show here with you, and another person, I guess, who was putting spin on it, our Radio.com NBA insider, Brian Scalabrine. He was on with us earlier. He was on with us last week, Clint. He is also someone who is a real believer of the Rockets. There's something that Kendrick said in that, Clint, and I'm curious from you, because I've been thinking about it ever since I heard him say it the first time. When he said the Rockets, we talked about the Rockets, you don't want to get that 7 seed. But he talked about he thinks the Rockets will get the 3 seed. How important to you think that is for them to try to get the 3 seed? Is that something of big importance for you as a fan? Is that something of big importance that the Rockets try to jump up to get that 3 seed?
I mean, you know, who does that put them above? I guess everybody except for the Clip and the Lakers, right?
Yeah. It'd be weird how it shook out because it could be anything. There's only 2 games separating 3 and 6 with the Rockets.
Right. Well, the Vegas odds, you know, they've got them winning 5. I guess the over under is set at 5 of those 8 games. So, I don't know that the 3 seed necessarily in itself and what that consists of and what the results of the Rockets getting the 3 seed, what that means. We don't know what that's going to look like or who they would play if they climb that high. So without that, I don't know how important it is. But I do think it's important, show that the Rockets come out and continue to find their way with these 8 games. They've got to figure, like I said, D'Antoni's had time to self-evaluate, fine-tune, communicate his message, get his guys' bodies right. But you don't know if you've done right until you see them on the floor. And so the Rockets have 8 games, and if they jump to a 4 or 3 seed, if they're able to climb that far, then that tells me that things are working. And everything they did over the last 4 months of the COVID-19 break is resulting in a better brand of basketball. So, yeah, it's important that they climb. I don't know that they need to climb all the way to the 3 seed, show.
Yeah, to me it's about matchups, right? As much as anything else, and even more than the NBA normally is about matchups, because, you know, there's no home court, there's no travel. And the game 7 where it's played doesn't really matter. Well, not really. It doesn't matter because it's just played the same place. But matchups are big. If they could find their way, I don't care how it happens, if they can find their way matched up against Oklahoma City, that's the team that I would feel most confident that they would beat. More confident of the teams I think they could play. More confident than playing the Nuggets, who they're slated to play right now, than the Jazz, than the Mavericks, or the Clippers, who they could play if they drop so far down. The Oklahoma City Thunder would be the team that I would, if I'm a Rockets fan, would want them to match up against, because I think they're just more talented than them, which I'll take every time. And I think there's a little extra juice for a couple of those players, especially James Harden, to go against Chris Paul in a 7-game series.
Well, I tell you, I'd like, if you just line it up and you go get what team can you catch that you feel like you can get in the first round? Yeah, that would be them. But boy, that'd be a bad, bad look if Chris Paul won that game. That would be a bad, bad look for the Rockets.
But
it's
gone. It's over, right? If y'all can't beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, then in a 7-game set, then it should be over. There should be some people leaving. Hell, you could tear the whole damn thing down. If you can't beat Oklahoma City, like, you're supremely more talented than that crew. And there should be extra emotion, especially your best player, Like, look, we know the stories. We hear what's talked about. Not a lot of love lost between those two. If you can't get it and beat them, I'm sorry. Then you had no business. All of this spin, as our texter said, and you're right on that. All of that. If you can't beat Oklahoma City, then we need to just sit on down.
Hey, can I don't mean to spin this conversation in any other direction, but I don't know if I'm reading this right, but Lou Williams of the LA Clippers.
Yeah, maybe the best bench guy in the league.
By far, right? Who's better? Who's even close? Lou Williams, I don't know how the hell he's not starting somewhere and dominating the ball for one of these organizations that can't win. But nonetheless, Lou Williams, his team, he's leaning towards opting out of the NBA restart. Ramona Shelburne just said that Team Lou 23 is leaning towards opting out of the NBA restart. On ESPN.
Those would be too huge. I think the Rockets already, and that's big news, I think the Rockets already got a real break, especially for their team, that Avery Bradley has opted out for the Lakers because he would be a primary defender on either Westbrook or Harden. And then this one here, the thing that separates, to me, the biggest thing that separates the Rockets and the Clippers is the bench. And that's the number one bullet on the bench. And if he's not there, that changes things in a major way and really helps the Clippers or the Rockets if they were to have to face the Clippers.
Yeah, man.
That's a
game changer because, again, you're talking about – I mean, didn't Brian Scalabrine came on earlier and talked about the vulnerability of the Lakers versus the Rockets is if the Rockets can take advantage of their perimeter defense or really the lack thereof, their inability to play, be strong in perimeter defense. Well, I think one reason that the Clippers are really, really strong is their perimeter defense. And when Lou Williams is on the floor, I'm not saying he's a great defender, but when Lou Williams is on the floor, he's one of those perimeter players. And outside of him just scoring points, when they play the Rockets, he is going to have to defend his ass off. So, you know, he's a big part of their scoring, but he's also a big part of Beverly and Kawhi and Paul George and their guards' abilities, yeah, to score, but also that perimeter D, it don't just stop when he's on the floor.
That's a big story. I know Doc Rivers, you know, and that's a tough thing, right? If you're Doc Rivers how do you have that conversation? Because you know, as the coach you need him, but you understand, like, man, I ain't going that. You feel a little dirty to try to push somebody who's concerned about their health.
Old Big Perk said that Kawhi and Paul George better get over to his house and knock on his door. Like, who was that that did it to Big Jordan? Golly.
Oh, Chris Paul. Chris Paul went over there.
Chris Paul and somebody else, the Clippers, too.
Yeah, Chris Paul and Blake probably went over there and try to have that conversation with him. I think Chris Paul just forced him, said, "You're not signing with Dallas." bullied him into it. No, that would be a big story and huge for the Rockets if that happened. All right, the hottest stories in Houston, you have to know, 5 o'clock fire coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.